Lord, as we come unto you, it is with great appreciation, Lord, for what you're doing, the things you have done on the retreat, Lord, what you did this morning, and your reality, Lord, is very, very much appreciated. The way you're working with the young people, Lord, is very much appreciated. And we thank you that so much, Lord, and the way you bless the worship. And just help us, Lord. It's just marvelous, marvelous. And Lord, as we come unto you tonight, we pray you will bless the youngsters, Lord, as they're being taught, and Bob and Margaret and others who work there so hard and give themselves, Lord, so that they can bring up the young people. And they're doing such a good job. So bless them all out there, Lord. And for us in here, Lord, I know there's needs here. We need to hear from you, Jesus. We need to hear from you. So we're looking to you tonight, no one else. In Jesus' name, amen. Before I crank up here, there's one thing that has floated through the atmosphere today, and it's very good and it's very needful, and that is the need we have to hear from the Lord ourselves. Now, in the middle of the commotion this morning, Andrew came up to me and he said, I think the Lord is saying that the people need to know that when you hear from the Lord, it doesn't have to be some fantastic thing, some, you know, like, oh, I've never heard from God and now he's going to yell in my ear or something, or I'm going to have psychedelic colors or something. It isn't like that. It's very natural. It's very normal. Now, quite a few people in the church journal. And how many journal in here? Oh, yeah, that's what I thought. Well, for those of you that don't do that, it's a very useful way to get acquainted with hearing the Lord's voice. They just sit down with their pad and pencil and listen to what God is saying and jot it down. He's a lot closer than you would think. In fact, I think he's speaking to us all the time, but we're in such a rush we can't hear it. He's very close. God is very close. But as our sister said this morning, we're apt to go to people, or we want someone to give us a prophetic word, or whatever. But our first dialogue should be with God and not people. Now, this is something that you have to cultivate, because if you're not used to it, you think, oh, well, you know. But it really is. I don't know if God has always been this close to people. I don't know that. But I sure know he's close today. And well, that's where the judge stands at the door, and James, and I don't think that's talking about calendar time, because time is not that important in the spirit realm. I think it means that the Lord is drawing closer to people. And really, you don't have to be a great guru or have a crystal ball or anything else. If you just slow down and are poised. Now, you can't hear God's voice if you're cooking on something. If you're angry, if you're trying to prove something, if there's something you want so bad you can't stand it. Have you been there? Something you want so bad you couldn't stand it. Well, we had to die to these things, and because you can't cook potatoes on a bonfire without getting burnt. You have to get the fire down to where it's glowing coals before you can do much with potatoes. And it is that way with our lives. A lot of times there's something that God intends to give us, and you know, our fleshly nature, we go ape over it, and we're all in an uproar. You can't hear from God when you're like that. In fact, when you feel like that, it's good not to prophesy, because you'll color it. And to prophesy and hear from God, you've got to be poised. You've got to be, you can't have a terrible fear in your life. or anything that is any kind of an agenda that is pushing you. It will color, in fact, it will deceive you. You get deceived. You've got to be poised. And this is takes some experience. But that doesn't mean you have to wait till you're a Christian, that you have to have a beard down to your knees before you can hear God. It doesn't mean that at all. It just means that just in your ordinary pursuit of things, with the normal fears and desires that people have, you're in good shape to hear God. But it takes setting aside time. You know, I know, Maurice, you're terribly busy. Others in the church are terribly busy. I know I've been that way in my professional career. In public education, you get, you know, and even as a pastor, you can be a bag lunch pastor and just run hither and yon with your bag lunch and attend meetings and the Rotary Club and this, that, and whatever else you think. You can do that. Moses was a bag pastor too, but what he did was he went in and talked to the Lord, and then he put a bag on his head when he came out because they couldn't stand to see his face. That's a wonderful way to pastor 3 million people, is to spend all your time talking to the Lord. But I think all of us, I don't care, you may be holding down 3 jobs, but you have to work at it and you have to pray to set aside some time to just get quiet and hear God. Maybe you're going to not hear a voice. Maybe you will as time goes on. But you'll get a sense during the day of God's direction that you will not get if you don't do that. When you're terribly busy, it's hard, because as soon as you slow down, your mind doesn't slow down. It keeps going. And that's hard. That's hard when you're that busy. I know that. I know that from experience. But nonetheless, it's a good thing to pray for and a good thing to hope for. I don't care what age. We could hear the kids here. They're learning to hear from God. You know, that kind of drifted through today and all the things that were said. Even with the young people and then her message and so on. And it's so important. And of course in America, where there's so many opportunities to do things, you can busy yourself, but you got to find it's a case of priority. Stan and I were talking about that tonight. Now every once in a while, you have to kind of take stock of yourself on your job. I don't care what it is, whether it's school teaching or preaching or selling vacuum cleaners or selling or doing banking, whatever you do. Every once in a while, an organization has to do this, and they call it systems analysis. You have to sit down, figure out what your goal is, and find out what you're doing that is not bringing you there. You know, you can have a corporation that, you can have a $1 million corporation, the first thing you know, the biggest issue is, who's going to pay for the donuts and the coffee break? That can happen. Like they say, you know, when you're up to your neck in alligators, it's hard to remember you were sent to drain the swamp. And that's so true of life. Every once in a while, you have to take stock of yourself and say, and what does God call that? Pruning. Pruning. And then the stuff that isn't the best drops away. Hobbies, things that just aren't that necessary. And then you find time to spend not even 15 minutes and listen. And listen. I do that sometime when I'm counseling people, when they may get in an uproar about this, that, or the other, or whatever, and I don't have the wisdom that I maybe should have or something. But what I say to them, and it's a really good way to counsel, I say, you go in this issue, you take it to the Lord, and when you hear from the Lord, you come and tell me what God said. And then I pray. And then, so we can compare notes. I have never have experienced, except one fellow said, "I don't believe you're hearing from God." Well, that stopped the program right there. Because he didn't particularly enjoy what I still think it was the Lord. But that was some years ago. He's no longer with us. But ordinarily, when we slow down and we hear God, we both come up with the same thing. It's amazing. So I sense from things that Karen said and things that the young people said, it just seems to me we're moving closer to knowing what God is doing and saying. So wonderful. I was reading in my Bible in Exodus about Miriam, and it's in Exodus chapter 15, verses 20 and 21. I was poring over that because I think there's something there for our church. And it just leaped out at me. Here comes old Miriam, who is a prophetess, and with her, and she grabs a tambourine, she goes on, and of course the children of Israel had just got through the whole company of Israel in Exodus 15. The whole company of Israel sang the song unto the Lord, and they were all worshiping, the whole congregation, millions of them singing together in prophecy. And we got it up there. And when you back up, can you scroll up there? Now all this, these people, this whole congregation of probably 3 million people, this is a prophecy they were giving after they escaped from Pharaoh. And when they finished, Miriam came out with her tambourine. And she was a prophetess. And she began to prophesy. And the women came behind her, singing and dancing in the Spirit. And you notice that they were worshiping, but it was militant. You see that? The horse and the rider. The horse and the rider, he is hurled into the sea. Can you just picture him dancing with a tambourine and everything? 3 million people behind him, and the women coming out, and they're singing and dancing. The horse and the rider, has he thrown into the sea? I think this is what we're coming to. I really do. I think we had a little taste of that tonight. Stan, you picked it up. I picked it up over there. Wow, you can just feel that moving like that. Well, that's what we're talking about. And that's what went on at the retreat. Sandy was saying, see, that's what God wants. The other night there, Sandy came up to me and the Spirit was so heavy. And Sandy doesn't like to lift her hands. And she came over. Remember that? Is it all right if I tell her? Yeah, I might as well. That's the way people do. They do things and then they call up Audrey and me and say, is that all right? Especially if they told someone else. And then we say, no, it isn't. Then they go and tell them, well, Pastor and Audrey said it isn't all right. That's the way that goes. They try to tell people, please, don't do that. Let us ask us first. So I just did that to you, Sandy. But I knew you wouldn't mind anyway, knowing you'd. And she doesn't lift her hands. And she came up to me and says, I don't lift my hands. But tonight, she said, I lifted my hands. That was last Sunday night. And she says, was that emotion? And I said, well, who's to say? Who's to say? When the Lord's around, the body acts out. I can't analyze what's emotion and what isn't. I'm not here. I suppose if you ask Miriam that, say, Miriam, are you getting emotional around here? I don't know. Of course, being Aaron's sister, she carried a lot of weight there. So I think that God is doing that. And we know, who was it tonight? I think it was Karen, was accented. Every joint supplies. You know what? What God wants today is the body of Christ to come to maturity. And according to the Bible, it cannot come to maturity except as every joint supplies. So, you have to make those changes slowly, Tony. You have to make them slowly. You can't, someone suggested sometime, take all the chairs out of the building so when people come in, they have to stand up. Well, I thought about the congregation. I thought, we better not try that one. Some of them are pretty tired by the time they get here. They're like, we had old brother Bodine used to say, he'd talk about these shells that come off a battleship, and they get up there and they lob over and they land on the beach, but they don't explode. And he said, there's a lot of church people like that. They make it as far as the beach, but then nothing happens. So we better leave the chairs in. But I feel the moving of the Spirit, and we're Stan and I are working on it, and others, so that when you come into an atmosphere of violent prayer and worship. Andrew. Well, that's an angle. Just don't say Pastor and Audrey did it. All right. Okay, we got our hands full, I tell you. But it is lovely, and it's lovely to see God speaking with the young people. That is so wonderful. All right, let's turn to Revelation 21. We'll start with verse 4. And I love it. People hear from the Lord. Praise God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning. No more death. No more mourning. No more crying. No more pain. And notice it says the old order of things has passed away. Isn't it difficult to imagine a world in which there is no death? No mourning, no crying. What the? That's the old order. Oh, hallelujah. That's something to look forward to, isn't it? What a world. What a world is coming up. Well, if we can make it through. The reason it's so hard for us today is not because God doesn't love us. It's because He is changing us. And that's what's so painful. He who is seated on the throne said, what? Hallelujah! How do you feel about that? You know what that means? He's making you new. You know what that means? Change. About time, Chief says. You don't like yourself the way you are?
Not entirely.
Oh, glory. Me neither. Well, he's doing it. Have you noticed? Like Michelle said last week. Well, how'd you put that, Michelle? That's kind of a bummer. Oh, she said she didn't know she had that much fight left. How many do not know they had that much fight left? You knew it? Well, yeah. But you know, it'd be all right if God would kind of do a minor tune-up, or maybe just coat us on the outside with this plastic so you don't have to polish your car or do something like that. But what he says, all things. Hey, that's me and my pet ideas. I don't know about this making all things new. That means you don't get to hang on to anything. Well, we go along and most of the hurdles are pretty reasonable, but some of them get to, wow, they challenge you to your toenails. You think, I don't know whether I can make this or not. And then we have to watch out. Who mentioned this morning, Sister Beard? We have to watch out for self-pity. because we think, well, nobody loves me anymore, or God doesn't love me, or how come this is happening to me when I'm doing the best I can, and every time I zig, everything zags. Well, that's called making everything new, and it isn't easy, because all of us are just people, we're human beings. And you wish maybe God would be content with what he's done thus far. How many wish God would be content with what he's done thus far? Well, you better watch how you're answering, because God will take you at your word. You know, I think sometimes when God is working with people, he gambles. I think he does. He figures, you know, I can get more out of them, but I don't know whether they're up for it. Of course, if they knew the end from the beginning, they would be up for it. But unfortunately, we have to walk by faith. And so God said, I think I'll... What, how did she put it this morning? A notch higher. Kick it up. You know, kick it up. Is God kicking you up?
To the fan.
You told me to quit saying that so much. She said, you've said that enough. Now you're saying it. Oh, I tell you, must be in the air. Great minds work in the same channels. Well, and what did you add to that? And greater minds work in their own channel. How did you do that?
Greater minds work in their own channel.
Greater minds run. Well, I never heard that part. But I'm all right down. I'm down on the lower one here. I'm just glad when people agree with me. Up a notch higher, Lord. That's what the prophet said this morning. Up a notch higher. Up a notch higher. Okay. I'm going to make all things new, and he'll take you as far as you want to go. I think this being saved is by fire that some people claim that they're holding on to is not going to be as much fun as they're picturing. I think being saved as by fire means that you've lost just about all of your personality, and you're going to go, God's going to save you into the kingdom without any reward and without most of your personality. Because I've seen this in vision, people that I know that are like children. They're like children. God saved them, but they're like children, like kids playing with flowers and blocks. They didn't make it. They're there. But they're saved as by fire. God had to burn away their personality because they didn't overcome. So this being saved as by fire isn't all it's cracked up to be. No. So God wants you to go into the kingdom with power and glory, overcoming, letting these things go by. You know, how many have ever heard that expression, a fiery dart? You got the shield of faith to quench the fiery dart. Well, that's kind of hard to picture. First of all, we don't play with darts, most of us. Probably two or three of us do have a dart game at home. And they're not on fire. And so how do you quench them? And a shield is something that's a steel against steel. So how in the world do you quench a fiery dart? Well, I don't know, Lord, but I believe it. And if somebody put a good tune to it, I'd sing it. But I don't have the faintest idea. I can't even picture it in my mind. How did quenching a fiery dart? I can see quenching it with a bucket of water, but not with a shield. And who plays with darts anyway? Tony, do you play with darts? No, I don't play with darts either. Well, it so happens that the Roman soldiers, like where they were laying siege, a lot of buildings in where there was being besieged were made out of wood. So the Romans would take their bow and their arrow and dip it in pitch, light it, and over the wall she'd go and set the place in there on fire. So much for the fiery darts, but the quenching, I'm not sure about, except in those days, a lot of the shields were made out of wicker. And you'd say, well, what good is that? Well, when you're fighting with swords, if you have a good, thick wicker shield, you can't get through it. And it's light. So you can move around like that. And you go hacking away at something that's close-knit wicker, and you're not going to hurt it with a sword. And so I figured out what they must do. I never read that. I made this part up. What they must do is they must have soaked the thing in water and then shot fire arrows at it and quenched them. I don't know how else you're going to get around quenching fiery arrows or darts with a shield unless that shield has got water in it. So anyway, it's the shield of faith. And you know, people will hurt you intentionally or unintentionally. Well, it doesn't make any difference. Here it comes, and boy, it's on fire. And if you don't get that thing up there, it's going to hit you. You know what it's going to do? It's going to set your personality on fire. You've got to be quick with that. Up there. Bang! Don't let that touch me, Lord. I'm an overcomer. I don't care. Nobody's going to hurt me. They're not going to hurt me. Up there. The horse and the rider has he thrown in the sea. When you're singing and you're prophesying and dancing, you're talking about war. Hallelujah! The horse and the rider. Why is God restoring these things? You can read back in Isaiah that he beats down the enemy with a tambourine. Hallelujah! How many have ever read that? You ever? I can never find that when I want it. Lisa knows. She's a fountain of knowledge here. When you find it, we'll flash it up in the thing. But it's one of the translations. I think it's the NIV. But you go to war with your tambourines, and you see that's what they are doing. There's a militancy in the thing. A horse and a rider has he thrown into the sea. So when God's looking for these people that he wants in his kingdom, he's looking for people that can possess their soul. So you have to possess your soul. Do you ever think what it means to possess your soul? Well, the opposite is to get somebody else to take it. And people can take your soul. You can lose your soul. And I'm not talking about going to hell. I'm talking about losing what God wants to give you. Hallelujah. And God wants your soul to be full and rich and filled with faith. So that no matter what happens, you go on marching. Let them say what they want to, do what they want to. I'm marching on. I'm going on. I'm not stopping. I don't feel sorry for myself at all whatsoever. It doesn't matter what kind of a home I was raised in, or what kind of a background I have, or who did what. I'm going on with Jesus. I'm going to see this thing through. Hallelujah. I don't care what, whether school keeps or not. I'm going on with the Lord. Hallelujah. And I think God is looking for that thing in his people. Don't let anything put you down. Get that shield up there. Get it up there. And don't let anything hurt you. Hallelujah. Don't you know the enemy's all over the place? Hallelujah. Tell you, God told me the other day, the spirit world hates you. He's talking about me. I don't like that. I don't like that at all. Praise the Lord. I know, Lord help, I'm not smart and I don't have much going for me. You're going to have to help me. And he does. But we overcome by faith. Okay? We're not because we're smart or good looking, but because we get up the shield of faith and we go on. And nothing's stopping. And that's what God is looking for. You know, there's more stuff in there. The Daily Essay's now on Joel chapter 2. You know, they march in their rank. They march in their rank. They don't thrust each other. Then there's nothing stopping them because they're dead living people. They've died in the Lord, and they've come alive in the Lord, and you can't touch them. They're God's untouchables. And you can be that. You can be that. Don't let anything throw you down. Nothing. Nothing. Keep going. We haven't seen this thing through yet. We're going to keep going. The horse and the rider, has he thrown into the sea? Militant. Bring out the tambourine. Did we... Where is it? Isaiah 30:32. Did we find it or did she find it? Yeah, I figured. the men always get the glory and the women do the work. What is it? Isaiah, ha ha ha. That's a big help, that is. What is it? Isaiah 32, did you say? 30. He's got it. look at that. When you look at that, did you ever sit in it like that? Every stroke the Lord lays on him with his punishing rod will be to the music of tambourines and harps. Now, if that isn't incredible, you make any sense out of that? That's why God is raising up dancing and banners and flags, because we're getting ready to fight. It's militant. As he fights them in battle with the blows of his arm. So, you know, it sounds nuts. We're up here with these banners. People think, well, why aren't you out on the street corner preaching to the people? Why aren't you doing something that makes some sense? Well, because this is the way God operates. You say, well, where's the harp? You're looking at the piano. The piano is only a harp. Did you know that? Did you ever open up a piano? Not this thing. This is I mean, a genuine piano. You open it up, all this is a harp. That's all it is, with a wooden frame around it. Huh? Well, it's a harp is what a piano is. All right, the music of tambourines and harps as he fights them in battle, and the young people over there bringing that down. That's what's happening. Right there is what's happening. Militancy. That's what God is doing. Bless his name. What a day. What a day. So he wants to bring us up a notch higher. And he's going to challenge you. You come this far. I've come this far. I don't know what's next. Maybe I'll be up there with the Lord. They can look for somebody else to fight against. I don't know what. But I don't think I'm anything, so don't get mistook there. I'm not preaching myself. But we've got to come up a notch higher. Now, that's what the prophet said this morning. We've got to come up a notch higher. And that just means what worked in the past isn't going to work anymore. I don't want to work anymore. We've got to be tougher. We've got to be more determined to serve the Lord. We've got to not ever, ever, ever let a root of bitterness in. It's going to bang like that. No old bones. No old bones. Everything's got to go. New day. The Lord's ready to do it. He says, are you ready to go on? I mean, it takes a gamble, you know. If he gets us stretched out beyond ourselves and don't want to go, then we've got to watch out we don't backslide. You know, lose everything we gained to this point. But keep pruning. Keep moving. I think I can get a little bit more out of it, you know, for my sake and their sake and the world's sake and everybody's sake. The potential's there. Let God have it. Behold, I make all things new. You know what we want, don't you? And it ain't that. It's all new things. We don't want all things new. We want all new things. We want to stay the way we are and go up in heaven where everything's new. There are no demands on us. We just get all new things. Sick and tired of this old world. I want to be up there with the angels. Walk around in my golden slippers. Play a harp. See the planets. Something else. Wouldn't that be wonderful to see all new things? People want to see all new things. But God's going to take the things that are, like you and me, and make them new. And that is very, very hard on us. Because we kind of like to stay the way we are. Thank you very much. Don't rock the boat. I'm happy I made it this far. Don't get me riled up. And he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. This is the only book in the Bible, this Revelation, that purports to be a direct revelation of God. It's the only book in the Bible that's bound with a curse. And the reason for that is because God knew the great lie that would be prevalent in the last days. The great lie. I was thinking about this. I like to read about England. I read another book about England. And in the 1600s, during the reign of Elizabeth, in the story I'm reading, this man was walking across London Bridge with his son. And he was hoping his son wasn't looking around because on the, I don't know what you call them, where the bridge is made, there's like spear points going up like you see on top of a fence sometime, with a pinch top fence. You know what there were? Heads. People that had betrayed Elizabeth. Queen Elizabeth, the redhead. People that had betrayed her. She cut their head off, stuck them on London Bridge. So when the traffic went back and forth, people get the point. You don't mess with Elizabeth. You know, ruling for 40 years, you don't mess with Queen Elizabeth. And I thought, in 400 years, we've come to the point, even at the turn of this century, people were being hung in the street for stealing horses or somebody's poke of gold in Arizona. But now we're to the place where somebody can go to somebody, hack off their arms and legs. Then they wait for 10 years on death row. Then they put them on a cot with a nurse standing by, sterilized hypodermic needle, and very gently inject them to make sure there's no suffering. Lord God Almighty, we're more civilized, but the crimes are worse than they have ever been. So we're really going nowhere fast. Think about it. The crimes that are done now, I can't read about them ever being done in history. They're rough boys in those days, but today, I mean, we got cannibalism. I never read about that in English history. Well, I thought you'd enjoy that. Things are a fantastic lie. There's a lot of people today that done things they should have been hung on the spot. And the whole country would have felt better. But instead we go through all this thing and everybody feels frustrated inside. These words are true. Trustworthy. So write them down. Because in 1999, when the whole cotton picking world is cockeyed, you have something that's true. Thank you. Now he's got to be Jesus, because Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, according to chapter 2 and 3. He said to me, "It is done." Thank God. Did you ever think it would be done? You know, the Christian life always seems open-ended, doesn't it? Always seems open-ended. It's like teaching school. You can knock your brains out for a whole year, and when you get through at the end of the year, isn't that true back there? Yeah, I'm a school teacher back there. Liz is back there. You just never feel like you did what you're supposed to do. You just never get done teaching school. And I guess there's other jobs like that. Never done. It's never done. And I think that we feel that way with the Christian life. I'll never be finished with sin. I'll never know the Lord I want the way I want to. Things will never be right. Look at those three words. It is done. And you know, Jesus experienced that. And so did the Apostle Paul. And so did Moses. And so did Aaron. And I lust after that. I truly want that. Jesus said, "I have finished the work which you gave me to do." Paul says, "I fought the fight. It's over." And of course, God just said to Moses and Aaron, "See that hill over there? Go up there. You're through. You've done the job." And the day you see people and they're stuck somewhere in a nursing home, there's tubes coming out of them and everything, you never know when you're through. You're holding on for one more day. There's never a time when you're through. When it's done. I want the Lord to say that to me. Thompson, that's it for you. Bobby, you're done. Oh, hallelujah. Did I do it right, Lord? Did I finish the work? What a thing to have God say, you've done your job. You've done all I asked you to do. So who needs tubes? I don't know. Audrey and I have already signed our no heroic measures. Thank you very much. I don't want it. When your time's up, it's up. Oh, boy. It's done. today, tomorrow, 20 years from now. I am the Alpha and the Omega. What are you laughing at? You don't think I can go 20 years? Well, I can if it's the Lord's will. Is that what you're laughing at? You think I can't last 20
years? You're laughing at me,
growing. Oh. I was going to say.
You said today, tomorrow, then you stretch out to 20 years.
Oh, yeah. Big jump there. All right, now, you notice what the Lord said, I am Alpha, and you never get to the end of the alphabet. How many see that? On the beginning? There comes a beginning to this thing, and there comes an end. I don't believe there will ever come an end to our growing to know God, because I think all the time we're growing, He's growing. So I don't think that will ever happen. But as far as redemption is concerned, salvation, it has a definite beginning, specific beginning, a specific program, and a specific ending. Ending. It's over. You're saved. You got it? It's done. The sin's gone. You made it. Hallelujah. Isn't that a wonderful thought? Now, that's the rest of God. That's the rest of God. You don't have to figure out. You don't have to figure out what you're supposed to accomplish. That's why we wait on the Lord. That's the rest of God. When you cease from your own works and listen each day, Lord, what do you have for the day? Never mind. Is this the last day? Whatever. It doesn't matter. It's just what God wants for your life. That's all. You don't have to strive. I don't have to strive. We don't have to figure whether we're going great or small, known or unknown, visible or unknown. All that matters is that God's will is being done. That's all that matters. And anything beyond that is just a bother. You're just bothering yourself for nothing. Yeah. That's why God prunes us every once in a while, because we're doing way more than we're supposed to do. I worry sometimes because I've got over 300 books and booklets, and I'm probably climbing toward 400. And I've read authors, and I thought, why didn't they just write that one book? That's the only good one they ever wrote. Did you ever think of that? But once you get going, you know, you just keep on going. Well, there's other ones that have written, like Missioner, for example. Every book he puts out, he's dead now, is better than the last. But there's others, they got out a corker in it. It reminds me of Hoagy Carmichael. Nobody, you know, any in here know Hoagy Carmichael? You know what song he wrote? He only wrote one. Stardust. That's all he needed to write. That's all that man needed to write. But I'm sure he wrote a bunch of them after that. But it just, that was it. That was so right. And people do that. They'll write a book, and then they write for the rest of their life when they should have stopped with that one. That was the one God wanted written. That's not true of everybody, but it is true of some. So all the rest of it, where you're just spending your time, you might as well be doing something else, because it wasn't the thing that God was after. And so that's where pruning comes in, to get rid of the dead wood, get you back on the thing that God's going to bless. And you know, when God does that, the thing that God wants then begins to grow and expand. It's beautiful. Everything, which will never be if you've got all these adjacent things going on that are not really of the essence. So we have to be listening all the time, because momentum, how many know, ever hear the term momentum? You know how much of our life is momentum? We just get going in a certain direction, and we're supposed to be like the first chapter of Ezekiel. You know what they did there? They run here, the chariot went there, the chariot went here. Everywhere the Spirit was in them, it went. There's no momentum there. Was free from momentum. And that's the way God wants us. Where we can just move as God is directing us. That's the rest of God. Knowing His will. Hearing from Him. Sounds easy, doesn't it? Well, you try it. Because we got a lot of fear. A lot of other stuff that keeps us pumping on long after the game is over. All right. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. And Jesus told us that thing. Remember? He said, if you want the Holy Spirit, ask for the Holy Spirit. Ask for more of the Holy Spirit. That's one problem with Pentecost. We get tongues and then we stop. Now, tongues is only the beginning. It isn't the end. God wants us to pray for more of His Holy Spirit. Everything we do to pray for more of His Holy Spirit. Pray for more of His Holy Spirit. He said, if you ask, you will receive of the Holy Spirit. Ask, seek, and knock of the Holy Spirit. Ask for the Holy Spirit. More of the Holy Spirit. If you're thirsty, God will give it to you without charging you anything for it. You know, that's one reason people don't pray for the Spirit of God. They're afraid of what they're going to get. Did you know that? That's why Jesus said, if you ask your Father for something good, He won't give you a scorpion or something bad. There's a fear in people about really asking God for more and more and more. They're afraid of being a religious fanatic. I don't know what they're afraid of. But Jesus had to tell us about that. Did you not be afraid? Ask for the Holy Spirit. And He says that here. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost. He won't charge you anything. The blessing of the Lord, it makes rich. He adds no sorrow with it. Now, he says, he who overcomes will inherit all this. And he doesn't say, I'll give it to him. Maybe that's the same thing. But it has to do with being God's son. It's an inheritance. It belongs to you. It was made for you. We're not talking about the world now. We're not talking about the saved nations. We're talking about the church, Israel, God's elect. All this you will inherit, provided you overcome. Now, I'm sure everyone in the room is being challenged with something right now. You're being challenged with something right now. And you're making up your mind about things, you know. How much do I believe God? Do I really want all this stuff? And how about this? I've got to figure this out first, or whatever it is. Well, I don't think it's a good idea to fiddle around like that. I really don't. I think to do is make up your mind. I want God. And this is what I want. I know what I want. The rest of my life is expendable. I want the best that God has. I don't care what it means to me, whether I lose everything I've ever wanted. It simply does not matter. I want to be able to look up at God any moment of any day or night and know that my heart is right in God's sight. That's what it means to overcome. Doesn't mean to be a spiritual hero. You don't have to run and look for the obstacles to leap over. They'll come to you. They'll come to you. The thing is, when one comes, it's real high, you know, and you're afraid you're going to skin your knee on it. You've got to be stretched. You've got to be stretched past what you've been able to do to this point. Oh, hallelujah. I've marveled on this, and I've pondered on the dynamics of this. What parameters are operating in church that people can attend for 50 years and never grow? How many have ever seen that phenomenon where people can be in church for years and years and years and years, they don't learn? They don't grow. They remain unchanged. And I've pondered, what? There's got to be some kind of a catalyst that is missing. There's got to be something wrong when... I mean, if you went to college and you sat there for 10 years and never learned a blessed thing, you'd feel that probably you were failing the course. Is that true? And yet that goes on in churches. Well, sit there year after year and you'll see the people have got the same old bitterness. They've got the same old unforgiveness. They haven't grown an inch. And I said, how can that be? As an educator, I'm interested. How can that be? What is wrong? If that happened in a college or a school or a grade school or a kindergarten, you'd figure I must be doing something wrong here. This child's exactly the same when they started in September as they are in June. They haven't changed at all. They don't know their alphabet. They don't know a thing. They can't add 1 and 3. They don't know anything. And here we went over it and over it and over it and over it and over it. They can't. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. But we never ask that in church, it seems. And I'm all for changing that. Huh? I'm all for changing that. I don't know how we're going to do it, but I think it's happening. I think there is growth occurring here. And I don't know why, what the difference is. Do you think that's true, Maurice? Are you different now than you were a year ago? I am. I wouldn't want to go back to last year. I did so many stupid things last year. Did you? Are you still doing them? That's the question. That's the question. Are we still doing them? I don't think so. I think we're learning. But it's kind of painful, isn't it? Because you hate to swallow your pride, and that's what it often amounts to. Or admit you were wrong, or, you know, learn a lesson or something. It's hard to die. You watch people die, and you know what it's like? It's like rigor mortis sets in. Or I'll tell you what it's like. We don't see that anymore because we don't see people hung. But when people hang, their feet, they dance while they're hanging. Did you know? Well, we don't want to think about that. But I think a lot of times people are dying a horrible death. Did you ever think of that? A kicking and a screaming. Oh, Lord, pull me through. Brother Dow used to say, God will pull you through if you can stand the pulling. And I believe that's true. So we're up for change. So our prophetess this morning says, God wants to kick us up a notch. And I am for it. Amen. I'm ready to change. Oh, I'm ready to change. I don't want to be the same old person that I was. He who overcomes, they're going to keep coming at you. They're going to challenge you. You're going to have to face the stuff in you that's going in the wrong direction. Like Michelle said, you're going to find there's a lot more fight in you than you ever dreamed there was. I wonder what Monday's going to hold for us. I suppose. Oh, Lord. But everything goes. There's nothing in here for those who do not overcome. Nothing in here for those who do not overcome. Whenever you read about those who do not overcome in the Gospels, it's not red hot. They're talking about outer darkness and stripes and everything else. You say, well, why is God like that? Doesn't he have pity on us when we're weak and timid and fearful and nervous and feel a little sorry for ourselves? Isn't God kind of shedding a tear? God's on his throne. Pass the Kleenex, angel. I feel kind of sorry for those people down there. He's not like that. Because he looks down at us right now. Well fed. Warm. Huh? Problem? Sure. We all have them. But think about the people in other parts of the world. You don't have to go past North Carolina. They don't have any house. They don't have any mementos from their marriage or anything. Scrapbook's gone. All the records gone. Job gone. House gone. And they're fortunate compared to many people in the world. They're fortunate compared to many people in the world in San Diego who are down tonight at Children's Hospital watching their little 3-year-old daughter grow whiter and whiter and watching the monitor. Have you ever had a child in the hospital where you had to watch the monitor and it's going I have. And it ain't no fun. So there's things you stop. Brother Dow used to say, I used to feel sorry for myself because I had no shoes till I saw the man that had no feet. So God sees the whole human race. and he admires a person, man or woman, boy or girl, that could climb out of the dunghill and they quit feeling sorry for themselves, their brakes or anything like that. They'll just say, I believe God, and I love Him, and I believe what He said, and I'm going to serve Him. Here I come, Lord. I don't feel sorry for myself at all. Hallelujah. You made me, and I'm fortunate enough to be here to be a person that You made. Thank You, Lord. It's wonderful. And I praise You, Lord, for everything. Let's stand and give thanks to God for our blessings. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus. Jesus. Here we are in health with God's Word. Hallelujah. And God's calling us on. And He's given us strength and faith and hope. Hallelujah. A vision and a future and a hope that we can go on in God and shake off the thing. Shake them off. Shake them off. Shake off everything. Every lay aside, Hebrews says, every weight that the sin that does so easily hinder. Lay it down. Straighten up the feeble knees and the hands that hang down. Hallelujah. Our God is wonderful. 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 His name is wonderful. He only knows how to do wonderful things. That's all He knows. Hallelujah. And He's got your answer. He's got it there. So cast your burden on the Lord and see what He's going to do for you. Lord, we need to be moved up a notch, Lord. Hear us tonight and don't listen to our pitiful crying. Just take us on, Lord. Hallelujah. We want Your best, Lord. We want Your best. We want Your best, Lord. We're going for the gold. Hallelujah. We want Your best, Lord. And in Jesus we can do it. We're more than conquerors. Hallelujah. We're more than conquerors. We're more than conquerors through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He's wonderful. He's wonderful. He's wonderful. Oh, God, lift up all who are weary and heavy laden. Lift them up, Lord. Lift them up that they may too rejoice and dance in the heights of Zion. Blessed be Your name, Lord. Lift us up, Lord, that we may rejoice and dance in the heights of Zion. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be Your name, Lord. You are a God wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, You're the greatest, Lord. You are the faithful God. Oh, hallelujah. You feed us with good things, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. You give us wisdom. You give us health and peace. Oh, Lord. Hallelujah. What You haven't done for us, Lord God, is not worth mentioning. You are so wonderful. So wonderful. So wonderful. So wonderful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.